Words for Life is by Pastor David Sterry of Beaumaris Baptist Church here in Melbourne.
John the Baptist is a fascinating person. He's someone that perhaps we don't focus on as much as we should. In the early part of the year, many people try new diets. How about John the Baptist's diet? A diet of locusts and wild honey. I'll guarantee not too many, if any, are trying that one at the moment. But John the Baptist had this unusual diet. He had an unusual dress sense, clothes made out of camel's hair. It's described to us in Matthew. But as Liz highlighted, what's most significant about John the Baptist is that Jesus himself described him as the greatest person who's ever lived. Now that, and that alone, should really make us sit up and take notice of John the Baptist. What was it about him that would lead Jesus to say such a thing of him? And indeed, as Liz highlighted, it was his humility. And in this new year, we can aspire to do this or that in our lives or come back to this or that. But what about to develop in humility? It's probably not high on our list. It's probably not even on our radar. But what we see in the coming of John the Baptist and then Jesus who would follow him was a new sense of humility. Humility was not considered a virtue in the ancient world. And if I take you back to when we did Jesus the Game Changer at the beginning of last year, one of the weeks actually looked at that and we focused on that. How humility was not a virtue in the ancient world, but it was considered a shortcoming. It was considered an indicator of weakness or lowliness. And even today, that can still be the case in many circles. But John the Baptist, and then Jesus, who John the Baptist pointed to, would model something altogether different for us. A new sense of humility like never before. I've discovered over recent years that probably in an increased way, that my physical posture is important. I know because I have a tendency when I sit to slouch a bit, I've recognised the importance of keeping my posture right physically. But our spiritual posture, the posture of our soul, is important too. And what helps to keep our spiritual posture right? Developing in humility. Let's take a closer look at what we see in John the Baptist so that we too can develop a healthiest posture of humility. The first characteristic that we see in John the Baptist is someone who prepares the way for God's work. It's described here as Craig read it to us in this first chapter of John. In verse 23, John actually says, replies in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord," or prepare the way for the Lord. This was a quote directly from Isaiah chapter 40, and when you take a look at Isaiah chapter 40 in that verse, it gives us even more detail. It says, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level and the rugged places a plain." We'll come back to the specifics of that in a moment, but preparing the way for something is always an important part of any event. Think of the advance party. They're the people who do the work leading up to what's to come, preparing the way. And in Bible times, this would kings would often visit cities and towns. And every time a king would visit a city or a town, an advance party would go ahead and they would clean up the city that they were coming to. Reminds me a little of what takes place when the Olympics are designated to a particular place, and the Olympics are coming, and they build all these special stadiums, they try to clean up the city to make it even more presentable. And so this would go on in Bible times when a king would visit. They would clean up the city, they would improve the roads, they would guarantee security, they would go over the route and the way that the king would come, and so on. And the same still happens when visiting dignitaries visit places today. But John the Baptist had a very different agenda to those kind of advance parties. His role was to prepare the way in people's lives for what? For the coming and the work of a different king. The coming and the work of the King of Kings, Jesus. He would prepare the way for others to experience the word and the work of God in their lives. And so if we come back to what John quotes from Isaiah 40, what does that involve? It speaks of raising up valleys. It speaks of lowering mountains, of leveling rough ground, of making the rugged places a plain. Well, what's the significance of those? What's symbolic of those things? I wonder, how might God want you and I to be involved into this year ahead in preparing the way for his word and his work in our own lives or in the lives of others? When we look a bit closer at that, think about that with me. Valleys. Valleys are a part of the lives of many of us. They are a part of our lives at one point or another in different ways. The valleys of difficulty. The valleys of struggle. The valleys of despair. The valleys of doubt. The valleys of insecurity. The valleys of grief. The valleys of the shadow of darkness in whatever form that darkness might take. People need lifting up in those valleys. And that's a part of God's preparation work in the lives of people. That's a part of what God seeks to do to prepare people to be open to God and his purposes in the midst of valleys. Valleys are times of preparation. Valleys are important times in people's lives that God can work in even in the midst of those dark and difficult times. Mountains too. Can be a part of the lives of any of us or many of us. Mountains of what? What do mountains? Mountains of pride. Mountains of self-sufficiency. Mountains can be where we rely on or put our confidence in anything or anyone other than God. And those mountains need to be made low. Rough ground speaks of anything in our life that can stop God's word and work from really taking root in us. The rough ground of busyness, of being so busy that we don't hear the voice of God, that we're not still and hearing the voice of God in the midst of our life. The rough ground of distraction, where we can actually be distracted from God and his purposes for us. The rough ground of worry, where what worry can be all-consuming and cause us to lose that sense of trust in God. The rough ground of materialism, where we can be, again, so self-sufficient and in the materialistic culture that we live in. And the Bible speaks about all of these things. And Jesus himself, in the parable of the sower, speaks about the seed being planted in our hearts and how easily it can be snatched away by desire for the things of this world, by worry, by distraction, by any of these things. Rough ground. And these are just a few of the things that it can speak of. Rough ground in any of our hearts or minds or in the lives of others needs to be made level for God's word to be received there and for God's work to take place. So I wonder, is your spiritual posture as you begin 2019 one where you are willing to allow God to do some preparation work in you? That involves a humble spirit. To be teachable, to actually allow God to speak into your heart and life, not just to brush it off and say, oh, no, but to actually be teachable under God. That involves a humble spirit. Or is your spiritual posture one where you are prepared to be a link in the chain of God's work in the life of someone else, where you are prepared to prepare the way for God's work in their life? Perhaps it might just be that God wants to use you to sow some seeds in someone else's life. You don't see those seeds. You don't know what the outcome of those seeds is going to be. But God calls us. God calls you and I to prepare the way for his work in someone else's life as a part of his overall purposes. That too involves a humble spirit. To develop a healthier spiritual posture of humility, We need to be like John the Baptist, be someone who prepares the way for God's work. But we also need to be someone who has a proper perspective of our identity and calling under God. When I was younger, I used to get calls from people at times wanting to know if I really was David Sterry. This was back in the early, back in the mid-80s, and they wanted to speak with David Sterry from Real Life. There was a band in the 80s called Real Life. In fact, my alias, my other David Sterry, is still around. You can Google David Sterry from Real Life. And they were looking for this guy. Now, I am a real life David Sterry, don't get me wrong, but I'm not in the sense that they were looking for. I'm not a singer, and I'm certainly not a famous one like he was back in the early 80s. But notice what goes on with John the Baptist here in verses 19 through to 22. It says, "This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but he confessed freely, 'I am not the Messiah.' They asked him then, 'Who are you? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not. Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Finally, they said, 'Well, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' And that's when John said, 'I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord.'" John the Baptist is being continually asked about who he is. And he's very clear, not only about who he is, but who he is not. "I am not the Christ. I am not Elijah. I am not the prophet." What do we learn from this? John had a very clear sense of who God had called him to be, and he did not try to be anything other than that. He could have, but he didn't try to make himself out to be more than he was. He didn't try to impress. He didn't try to be someone or something that he wasn't. He just went about being who God had called him to be. Here was someone with a very clear sense of that, who was comfortable in his own skin, literally. I wonder, is that true of me? Is that true of you? Because if we're not careful, we can fall into the trap of trying to impress, of trying to be someone that we're not, or doing something that we're not called to do in God's purposes. Have you developed a clear sense of who you are before God and what God has called you to be and do in your life? That involves living as a child of the living God, understanding that you don't have to prove yourself before God. You don't have to prove yourself before others. You can be secure in who you are and in who God has called you to be and do. That involves being someone who knows that God is still at work in you, but nevertheless is comfortable in who God has made you and how God has gifted you, and doesn't try to strive or aspire after other gifts or roles. God calls us all to play a part in his purposes. And God calls us, whatever part we play in his purposes, to be faithful and fruitful in that calling. And that's exactly what John the Baptist was. That involves a humble spirit. Now, there are a lot of people who serve in this place who do so behind the scenes. There are a lot of people who serve as a part of God's work in this place that other people don't know about. There are a lot of people who go quietly about, faithfully and fruitfully serving God in ways that very few people even know about or noticed. And yet, they are satisfied to play their part in God's purposes. The people who do the flowers, the people who do the lawns, the people during the week. And we need more lawnmowers, actually. It's a good point. Rob just spoke to me the other day and said, "Hey, we could do with a few more people mowing lawns." That again, we all want the church property to look to present well. And that happens not on a Sunday, just happens to be on a roster every now and then to just come and mow the lawns here. That's no one else barely will see that. And yet that's an important part in God's purposes. That involves a humble spirit, like the people who put together the flowers, like the people who do many and varied things in this way, to play our role, whatever it might be, in God's bigger picture purposes, to develop a spiritual, healthy spiritual posture of humility. We need to be people who are willing to prepare the way for God's work, people who work out our identity and calling under God and play our part in that. And finally, we need to be people who point people towards Jesus. That's exactly what John the Baptist did. We read in verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. And as people were there, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus entered into the picture. And what did John do? John didn't press forward. No, John stepped back. When Jesus entered the picture, John stepped back and made sure that he pointed people towards Jesus. People were interested in John. If you read further than what our Bible reading describes, people were flocking to see John the Baptist. But when Jesus arrived, John the Baptist pointed them towards Jesus. He was humble enough to do that. I wonder, in what ways might you and I have a role into this year ahead in pointing people towards Jesus? It's not just about our words. It's about our lives and our witness that they are to Jesus. John the Baptist sums it up in verse 30 when he says, "This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man comes after me, has surpassed me because he was before me.'" And this echoes what John would say again a few verses, a few chapters on in John chapter 3, verse 30. We read, "He must become greater." This is what John the Baptist says. "He must become greater. I must become less." Again, into 2019, can I suggest this is what we should all aspire to? He, that's Jesus, must become greater. I must become less. That is only possible as our lives reflect more of Jesus and less of ourselves, as we point people towards Jesus in a humble spirit. There's been times in my life where I've gone to put on something quickly, a piece of clothing, and I've realised I've put it on back the front. Can you believe that? But how easily we can get things back the front when it comes to what God calls us to be and do as followers of Jesus. And we had a series on Colossians, as you know, and the latter part of last year. And Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, let me remind you of what it says. It says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness," and the third thing listed is humility. Clothe yourselves with humility. Put on humility. That's what we're called to put on. But sometimes, if we're not careful, instead of doing that, we might think something else is more important. But in God's eyes, humility is very important. I don't typically set New Year's resolutions, but I would challenge myself, and I would challenge you as we move into this year ahead, to seek to be people who develop the spiritual posture of humility in a new and increased way in our lives. Let's pray. God, as we are attentive to you, we also seek to be attentive to our spiritual posture and our perspective before you and others as we head into this year ahead. And so by your grace, as we'll remember now around the communion time, continue to be at work in our lives. Continue to shape us to be the people that you've called us to be. Thank you for who each of us can be in you, and thank you for who each of us has been called to under you. Help us to be open, to be teachable, to be open to your preparing work in and through our lives. Help us to be able to, like John the Baptist, live in a way that reflects, "He, Jesus, must become greater and I must become less." Help us
to be people who point people towards Jesus and teach us to find and follow you, Jesus, in and through the pathway of humility. And we ask this in and through the name of Jesus, our model, the one who was more than, who was our example, but who gave himself for us, as we remember now. In and through his name we pray. Amen.